Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. Welcome to Palm Sunday weekend. The Bible tells us you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God. Well, that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago. Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. Each weekend here on the Faith Radio Network, you and I look at different biblical characters. Now, last time, it was Mary of Nazareth, and today, her beloved son, our precious Savior, Jesus, on Palm Sunday. His followers didn't know what his future held, but he did. Even so, Jesus led them toward the holy city. Matthew 21:1 tells us, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, I had to practice that one for you, Bethphage, on the Mount of Olives. Bethphage is a walled village near Bethany. Interestingly, the Sanhedrin, who usually met in Jerusalem, also met now and again in Bethphage. They held court there, and their duties there included, among other things, validating death sentences for rebellious leaders. You know, like our Jesus. Matthew 21:1 continues, Jesus sent two disciples. Why two men? Well, for protection as they pressed through the crowds, but also for credibility when they made their request. Jesus said to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with your colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. It's interesting. It doesn't say if you find a donkey. Jesus knew they would, and they knew too. No questions asked. No need to knock on any doors when Jesus arranged the ride. And the response, he told them, it'll happen immediately. He told them to loose the donkeys, not steal them. And I love how he wanted them to have an answer ready if they were questioned. You see, Jesus thinks of everything. And so he says to his men in Matthew 21:3, if anyone says anything to you, see that preparation, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. So I guess what we have here is donkeys on demand. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Okay, wait, which prophet? As it turns out, Zechariah wrote these words more than five centuries before Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The prophet said, say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Matthew 21:5. You see, Jesus is all about the fulfillment of prophecy. Not one jot or tittle was ignored. Everything was as exactly it was predicted it would be. But I am curious. We get the donkey, but why the little one? Well, there's actually a couple of practical reasons. I did a little research on donkeys. Mother donkeys never leave their offspring behind. And furthermore, foals never let their mothers get out of their sight. That makes sense to me. And so the big donkey and the little donkey, Jesus wants them both. He planned to enter Jerusalem not as a conqueror on a horse, what many would have expected of him, but as their rightful king quietly coming in peace. We often think of donkeys as stubborn. I mean, that's sort of their modus operandi, what we think. But the reality is, donkeys are very gentle and very intelligent. They just happen to have a keen sense of danger, so they proceed only when the path is safe. That's why they can seem stubborn, because they won't go where it's not safe to go. Pretty smart, huh? Well, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, Matthew 21:6. I'll tell you, obedience is a beautiful thing. The fact that they didn't protest, they didn't ask questions, they didn't demand to know what exactly was happening next. They were just obedient to Jesus. That really speaks to my heart because obedience is easier, as they say, said than done. To be obedient without complaint. And the owner, by the way, of the donkeys was obedient too because he released both donkeys as requested. So the men brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on, Matthew 21:7. There's something very tender about this scene to me, that they would place their cloaks, which they might well have needed if they had them on, they needed them, it was chilly or they were covering their clothes to protect them, but they were willing to put them on the backs of donkeys. They made a small sacrifice for his comfort. Well done. Well, we're going to move to the book of John now and pick up the story there. John 12:12 tells us, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Remember, this is Sunday in our story. So the Jewish Sabbath ended Saturday night, the evening before, which means now on Sunday, the holy city is overflowing with festival goers. You can imagine how quickly news swept through the city. He is coming. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. You know, we call them palm trees, but what they really are is flowering plants because they have no branches per se, and they have, by the way, no tree rings either. So they're really a very, very big plant with huge leaves, perfect for waving as a symbol of the nation of Israel and as a way to honor their king. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, Luke 19:37. I've actually been on that road, and it's fairly steep. It meanders down the hillside, which is covered with olive trees, very unusual-looking trees, very twisted trunks with silvery leaves. They're ancient. They say that there is still a tree standing from the time of Jesus. We don't know. You'd have to cut it open and count its rings to find out. But the trees there are very old. And as you walk down, Jerusalem rises on the other side of the Kidron Valley. You cannot take your eyes off that beautiful city. Neither could Jesus. He rode through the crowd, surrounded by their waving palms and their faces filled with anticipation, young and old, men and women. Can't you feel the heat of the sun and see the dust rising from the ground and hear their shouts of adoration? Luke 19:37 tells us the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Praising God for the miracles. Well, miracles were impressive. Kind of thing that gets people excited. Maybe this helps us understand why days later, in fact, just a few days later, like 5 days later, the crowd turned against him. Because he wasn't working miracles, why he couldn't even save himself. And so the miracles were forgotten and the miracle worker was forgotten too. But not on this day, not on Palm Sunday. Oh, no, they're still shouting praises. Hosanna to the Son of David, Matthew 21:9. Hosanna, by the way, was an Aramaic cry to God for salvation. And they also shouted, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that comes straight from their sacred psalms, and we still sing it today. Luke 19:38 records them saying, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And in John 12:13, blessed is the King of Israel. Different translations tell us they spoke with a loud voice. They cried out. They cheered. Definitely the enthusiasm for the Messiah was at a fever pitch. So much so that not just his disciples, even the crowd gave him the shirts off their backs. Matthew 21:8 says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. In many ways, it's even a greater sacrifice than his disciples, because these garments were going to be trampled by not just the donkeys, but countless pairs of feet. Even so, they threw down their coats. They carpeted the road with their clothing. Now, for the poor, who had no clothing to spare, they cut leaves from the palm trees and put them on the road. See, people had to respond. They had to honor him as their king. They had to worship him. Worship, you see, isn't a task. Worship is a response. That day in Jerusalem, the people of God were worshiping him with all their might, honoring an unseen God in heaven and praising an incarnate God on a donkey close enough to touch. John 12:16 tells us, at first, his disciples did not understand all this. Also translated, they didn't know what was happening. They didn't realize this was a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, let's be honest, such confusion was kind of standard procedure for the disciples. Bless them. They were always two steps behind. They were always asking questions, and to be honest, they were often confused. The Greek word here for understand means to come to know, to recognize, to perceive. So this knowledge isn't something we're born with. God reveals his truth to us once our hearts are prepared to receive it. And the day would come when his disciples would understand fully. It just wasn't this day. In fact, the Bible tells us only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him, John 12:16. Finally, when Jesus returned to heaven, they understood that everything had happened exactly as the scriptures said it would. From that point on, the disciples were willing to die for what they believed. Jesus knew that epiphany was going to come for them, even as he knows exactly when it will come for us. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Today, we're walking through Palm Sunday with Jesus. If you missed some, you want to listen again, it's on a podcast on myfaithradio.com. Look under Word by Word, or LizCurtisHiggs.com. Look under my podcasts. While you're over on my website, could I ask you maybe to come visit me on Facebook or on Twitter? Maybe sign up for my monthly Bible study. I promise I will not flood your inbox once a month. We can handle that, right? 2018 or 2018 if you prefer, is actually my 25th year as a published writer. And so all this month here on Word by Word, we've been looking at the women of Easter, though, of course, our real hero is Jesus. And so we go back to our scene on Palm Sunday, picking up at John 12:17. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. They gave testimony to what they'd seen. They shared their eyewitness accounts. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. Once again, the crowd was awed by signs and miracles. And so they flooded the road to Jerusalem, and their numbers swelled to a welcoming parade. Yeah, guess who was not pleased to see him? Right, the Pharisees. Luke 19:39 says, "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" Also translated, "Make your disciples stop shouting. Get your disciples under control." I don't think it was honestly the sound that bothered him. It's what they were shouting. "Blessed is the King of Israel." Well, Jesus was hardly going to silence his people. I think he'd finally had enough at this point. He is known, of course, for his gentleness and his humility. But we have to remember he was also the one through whom God made the whole universe. So he's going to exercise that power just now and put these hypocrites in their place. "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Just picture this now. The stones along the road there, imagine them shouting, screaming, bursting into cheers. Kind of like that day when the mountains and hills will burst into song and all the trees of the field will clap their hands, as Isaiah 55:12 tells us. Well, the Pharisees, as you can imagine, had no clever comeback for screaming stones. In fact, it sounds, let's be honest, pretty scary. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere." Also translated, "Our plan is not working, not succeeding at all. Look, we are losing followers. There is nothing that can be done." You can hear the frustration in their words and just imagine what it looked like on their faces. John 12:19 has them saying, "Look how the whole world has gone after him." It must have been amazing to see their whole world was praising a destitute man on a donkey. Wow. Marvelous. If we turn to Luke's gospel, we'll find that his focus is on Jesus' point of view rather than the Pharisees, and I love that. Luke 19:41 says, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." You remember that Jesus cried when he saw Mary of Bethany and others weeping at the death of Lazarus. Now a whole city of people are trapped in the grip of death, unaware and unprepared. All around him people were shouting and rejoicing, but not Jesus. He wept on Palm Sunday. He wept. I wonder if his disciples noticed his tears or heard his lament. Someone heard what Jesus said and recorded it for us. "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace." Wow, those words travel through the centuries to pierce this girl's heart and maybe yours too. Because we think we know what peace looks like. Love, perhaps, the love of our parents or the love of our spouses, the love of our children, the love of our friends. Oh, it's all good, but honestly, it is nothing compared to the love of God. We also think if we just had more money, more security, more stuff, more freedom, then we would be at peace. But anyone who has those things, money, security, stuff, freedom, they'll tell you, oh, it's not enough. And peace is not found in those things. In fact, often just the opposite. Jesus alone provides everlasting peace. The Phillips paraphrase says, "Ah, if you only knew, even at this 11th hour, on what your peace depends." Then and now, our peace depends on knowing him, believing in him, and trusting him. But Jesus goes on to say in Luke 19:42, "But now it is hidden from your eyes." Why didn't the city that he loved see the truth? Because Jerusalem was looking in the wrong direction. They were looking at people and possessions and power, even though none of those things brought them peace. You cannot see it, the Good News Translation says. Or the Wycliffe translation from centuries ago, "For if thou hadst known, thou shouldest weep also." Yes, we shouldest. But only Jesus wept that day. While Jerusalem prepared to throw a party. It's likely that he entered the city at the southern gate, right near the Pool of Siloam, where he'd once healed a blind man. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Matthew 21:10. The rest of the people, the ones who stayed in town, are only now noticing this strange parade. The Greek word for stirred, by the way, means thrown into an uproar. So amid all this noise and confusion, a shock ran through the whole city. If you listen carefully, you can hear people asking one another, "What's going on here? Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Matthew 21:11. Now here he's not just a miracle worker. He's a prophet. In fact, they're even willing to name his hometown, Nazareth, as in, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Not a place these folks are usually proud of, but they were honored to say he is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. For Jerusalem, Galilee was just up north somewhere, about 75 miles north, and Nazareth, a very small, very insignificant town. And yet the followers of Jesus were happy to say, this is who this man is. He's a prophet, not just a miracle worker. So Jesus climbed toward the temple. Perhaps he was using the monumental staircase that was built by Herod the Great. In all of this cacophony of sound, in all the people welcoming him, in all the hosannas, in that moment Jesus came upon a disturbing sight. Money changers in the temple. At this point, the music moves to a minor key. Matthew 21:12 tells us Jesus entered the temple courts. So he went through the towering columns of the royal portico. It was the gathering place for visiting pilgrims. Very loud, very colorful, very exciting, lots going on. But unfortunately, one of the things that was going on did not please Jesus at all. And so he took action with force, the Amplified translation tells us. And he drove out all who were buying and selling there, Matthew 21:12. Here's the deal. If they bought and sold, they were history. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. The Amplified says he turned over the four-footed tables of the money changers. Let me tell you who these people were. They made a shameless profit, exchanging foreign money for the special coins that were needed to pay the temple taxes. So as soon as you got to town, you had to visit the money changers because you needed these special coins. All I can think of is the first time that I went to Britain. And it's all coins, you know, even the pound isn't a bill, it's a coin. So you've got this whole handful of coins. I know them well now, but I didn't the first time through. And we finally just held our hands out to people with our coins in them and said, here, pick out what you need. And they did because they were very trustworthy. But see, these money changers, they were not trustworthy. Maybe if they were, Jesus would not have minded what they did, though he very much minded where they did it. He pushed over the benches and the chairs of those who sold birds and animals for sacrifice as well. We seldom see his righteous anger on display, but Jesus definitely brought him that with him that day. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers, Matthew 21:13. He's always a teacher, our Rabbi Jesus. In fact, here he's quoting two passages from Old Testament prophets. From Isaiah, my temple shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And then from Jeremiah, this temple, which bears my name, has become a den of thieves, also translated a hideout for crooks, a cave of robbers. Well, once the buyers and the sellers and the money changers were scattered, once the temple courts were cleansed, there was room for the blind and the crippled to get in. Matthew 21:14 tells us the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. What a day. We have waving palms. We have shouting crowds. We have screaming rocks, or at least the threat of them doing so. We have flipping tables, and we have a righteous smackdown. Now came a measure of peace and the making of miracles. Jesus must have stayed many hours in the temple courts that Palm Sunday afternoon, healing those who were pressing against him, begging to be set free from their infirmities, hoping to see again, hoping to walk again. Finally, Jesus needed to rest, as we all do. I'm quite certain he returned his borrowed donkeys by this point, and now he was headed toward dinner and a bed. Matthew 21:17 says, "And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night." The Bible doesn't tell us where he lodged in Bethany. We can take an educated guess. At the home of three people who loved him: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. I hope you'll listen again on the podcast at myfaithradio.com, lizcurtishiggs.com. You'll find a short Bible study guide there as well. Next weekend, it's Easter. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.